and our souls for worship as we listen to Scarlet after the chimes. We would ask you to stand and take your hymn book or look on the screen for our spoken call to worship, page 74 in your United Methodist handbook. Let us stand and respond together. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands.
Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing.
Know ye that the Lord, he is God.
It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture.
Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise.
Be thankful unto him, and bless his name.
For the Lord is good.
His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations.
Let us remain standing for the invocation and then for our first hymn, which will be page 64, Holy, Holy, Holy. But first, let us have our invocation. You are here. You love us and you care for us and you want us to be part of the kingdom. For those of us who have accepted you as our Savior, being part of the kingdom, we bear the responsibility of fully worshiping you with all that we are. So allow us to worship, let us give praise, and let us give thanksgiving this day. And may your Spirit change us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Page 64. And as we remain standing, let us turn to page 8 for our confession and pardon. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Well, we've already had two joys, amen, brought to us this morning. Are there any other joys that you would like to bring as a congregation this day? Okay, so I'm not hearing, so I'm going down. Did you hear? Have a new grandson, amen. I got that part. What was his name? Madison. Maddox. Maddox, okay. Okay, finally, when you go deaf, you know what happens, don't you? Nobody else in here have any hearing problems, amen. And so, thank you. So, two granddaughters, one grandson, right? Anybody else got another grandson? We're trying to go two for two and start dating already. Now, other praises. Prayer requests. We're going to pray for Gracie. She's we found the results from off her MRI finally. High and low ankle sprains, ligaments that have been stretched and they're swollen, and her ankle has bone bruises throughout the entire ankle. Besides that, she's doing fine. So that's why she's been limping around wearing that thing all this time. What they do, she gets to go with me to physical therapy. We have to be there at 8 o'clock Thursday morning after we go to annual conference. And she does her opening consultation while I'm doing physical therapy. And she gets to go 3 times a week with Dad to physical therapy. You think she's happy? Oh, yeah. She can't wait to go with me to that. So other people with prayer requests.
Pray for Mary.
I was going to let you say it. Pray for Mary. She's got a broken arm. Just in one place, I think, right? And it is healing, but no surgery, right? Okay. And
5 weeks.
5 weeks in the sling. 5 more weeks or 5 weeks total?
About 5 more weeks.
Then she'll go with me to physical therapy at 8 o'clock in the morning. All right, there you go. All right. So I have to ask, for the two people who I won't mention their names that have had knee replacement, are y'all still in physical therapy or are y'all done? Done. Good at not saying. Okay, one done, one not saying. Anybody wants to go to physical therapy with, next Thursday morning, 8 o'clock. You have to go to Fountain City to do it, though. Anybody else? Amen. That's a praise and a prayer. So the praise is, thanks to Larry for orchestrating the air conditioner. The prayer is, may it continue to work. Amen. Anybody else? All right, as much as I would love to go back here and kneel to pray, I'm going back up to the pulpit and we'll pray together. So let us be in prayer together. The Lord is in the place, as the Lord is with 3 brand new grandbabies. Amen. Life that comes, and we don't know just how much those 3 lives will change us and change the world. But just by the very presence of them being with us, by the parents that now spend that time raising them and loving them and showing them the ways of God, we'll find that their very presence will change us and the world. And we praise God for that. For Mary, that she would heal and would be strong, and that you would be with her during that healing process. And for those of us who have the joy of physical therapy, may that continue to be a strengthening time for our bodies in the midst of the fun that is physical therapy. We pray, O Lord, that you would be with us as a church, that you would lift Rockwood United Methodist Church up, and that we would do the right things in this community and in our church itself to please you, that you would be with the annual conference this coming week at Host Annual Conference in Junaluska, and that we would see your path and your path only, even if it is against things that people may wish and want. For indeed, you guide us and you direct us and you love us in ways that only you can. So walk with us this morning. Let us seek your will. We do praise you that air conditioning works. If it's your will that it continue to work, let it be so. If not, let us have the wisdom to know what to do with that. As with all things in our lives, sometimes things just simply don't work. Let us know the path you guide us to when they don't. And when they do, let us praise you in both places. Now allow us this day to open our soul to you. have hope in you and have faith in you. And we pray this prayer in the name of the one who gives us life and life everlasting, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. In his name we do pray. Amen. We'd ask that you would stand with us and sing page 618, Let Us Break Bread Together. Find it here in the hymn book or on the screen, page 618. I didn't know we were going to attempt that fourth verse or not. No, okay. Ask our ushers to come forward this time, please. Let us pray. In the midst of the joy of this day, let us pause and give our time to you. Give who we are to you. Give all that we are to you and the blessing of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. And since y'all look so good standing, if you'll stay standing for just a moment and turn with me to the Gospel of John chapter 3, beginning with verse 1 and reading through verse 17. Let us hear God's word. There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Some of y'all will say born again or born anew. Okay, so make sure you know what that is. Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astounded that I say to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray together. That all might be saved, born again, born from above. That is what we are about. That is who we are. Bless us in the search for the birth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So after reading all that with Nicodemus' story, I would like to begin our morning together here in where we ended, in verse 17. I want you to hear this again as it reads from this scripture. "Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Listen to it carefully. Did not send him to condemn, but to save. You know, there's a gulf between condemnation and salvation. And that gulf can be very wide sometimes, and it can be very narrow sometimes, depending on how things are being approached, how things are going to be looked at. To condemn somebody, in the true sense of the word, condemning, is to say to them that they have no hope, they have no chance of salvation, and that they have no way to move forward. To offer salvation to someone is to not take away the fact that they could be condemned, but is to say to them, you have hope and you have a way forward through Jesus Christ to be saved. I wanted to begin there before we walk back to the Nicodemus story, because I want us to understand the fullness of what Jesus is trying to say. You know, we like to read John 3:16. I mean, most of y'all memorized it. I memorized it in the old King James Version as a kid. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We love that text, don't we? I mean, it's a great place to preach from. It's a great place to teach from. But you got to read 17 to go with it. And then you got to have the story before it. Nicodemus is a Pharisee. Now, what does Jesus and Pharisees usually do? How do they get along? Not much, right? They are not, there's not often that they're invited to dinner with each other. It does happen on occasion, but not often. Usually one group is condemning Jesus. Pharisees are condemning Jesus along with the Sadducees and rulers. And so Nicodemus coming out by night. I can just kind of see him. Don't you think through this? Just kind of see him coming out by now. He waits till everybody on his block is asleep. And stealth. He comes out by stealth and he goes by night when nobody sees him. And what does he go do? He goes out to see the very one that everybody is talking against, preaching against, and telling them just how bad this prophet is because he breaks the rules. Now, in John 3, he hadn't broke near the amount of rules he's going to break, but the things that they see him breaking the rules. And he sneaks out by night, and the introduction that he has to him is fabulous. You need to look at it. Nicodemus comes out, looks at Jesus, and the first words out of his mouth is, "Rabbi." He places the one that everybody's going to be working against above who he is. He placed him above the Pharisees, above the Sadducees. He calls him a teacher. He tells him he is the one who brings the word. And he even goes farther by saying, you can't do what you do unless God is in you. He recognizes him, maybe not as the Son of God yet. Now we know that changes because when Jesus dies, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus are the two that take him down and put him in the ground. So we know he gets it later, but at the moment, he doesn't recognize him as Jesus, but he recognizes him as being filled with God's Spirit, being from God. So a person who's of a group that's against him comes out and calls him Rabbi, places him on a pedestal, and then tells him that he has God in him. All the people back at the house who are asleep that don't know he's out there, the ones in the temple who don't know he's out there, if they had any clue what had just happened, he probably would have been taken out of the Pharisaical group and expelled from the temple. Because he just broke more rules than you can even imagine by saying he's a rabbi and he's got God in him. Because they're going to say in one place, those who are in Bible study know this from last Wednesday night, some of the very group he represents is going to say he's Satan, Beelzebub, throwing out Satan. And that's where Jesus gets into that conversation about a house cannot stand if it's against itself. And this is Nicodemus out. And he comes out to have a conversation with him to try to understand what Jesus is teaching. He wants to hear from him. He wants to sit across that campfire and have a conversation. And he begins to talk to him about being born anew. And Nicodemus does that wonderful thing. Well, how does an old person enter his mama's womb? And you see the essential difference in understanding with that statement. I want you to watch it. Read it again when you get home. The essential difference is Nicodemus deals with physical things. Jesus deals with spiritual. He even talks to him about how can he be a teacher of the law if he doesn't understand what he's talking about. He tries to understand, get him to understand that if all you see is the physical, The flesh is born the flesh. The spirit is born the spirit. He's trying to get him to fathom those two differences. And he even includes the conversation that we're born of water and the spirit. Now, I hate to break it to you, but every one of y'all in this room that accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior had been born of water and the spirit. Unless you're different than the rest of us, you came from your mother's womb. Now, you may have had an immaculate conception who still came from his mother's womb. Or God may have just spoke you to existence as he did Adam and Eve. But I don't think any of y'all are Adam and Eve. If you've been along that long, let me know. You're born of the water of the womb. What happens when a woman's water breaks? She begins to give birth from the water of the womb. That's where you come from. There comes a day, if you accept Christ as Savior, that the water of the womb gives way to the birth of the Spirit. Water and the Spirit. You are people who are born of two different things. You do not enter your mother's womb again, but you're born of above. You see things with spiritual eyes, not physical eyes. And yet so many of us are caught up in seeing things with physical eyes. We don't ever reach the place of spirituality, spiritual eyes. Now, even when we do, let's be fair, sometimes we see things spiritually and then we see them with physical again. We don't stay on that place. We have to struggle to be there. But it is a place that we're supposed to be striving for. It is something we're supposed to be reaching out for. We're supposed to be removing from the physical and seeing with the spiritual. Eyes to see, ears to hear. Jesus does this over and over. He tries to tell us how to understand things from our physical way of seeing it, because Jesus knows, as he does with Nicodemus, that Nicodemus can't see it spiritually yet. He's not there. He's not walking that path. See, and we have to be able to allow ourselves to let the spiritual overtake the physical. You got to love, I'm going to walk back so I read it completely. You've got to love the interaction. Verse 11. Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen. Yet you do not receive our testimony. This is this conversation. I just want us to work on it. If I've told you about earthly things that you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. There's a whole sermon, by the way, on just the Son of Man. We'll leave it there, but just say to y'all, in the writing of the time, the Son of Man is more important to them than the Son of God. There's reasons for that. Mostly think of it this way. The teachers of the law, the teachers to the nation of Israel, teach out of the Torah, the first five books of the scriptures. They have not experienced what we experience, death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So they're teaching from a different place, teaching from a different understanding of scripture. So Son of Man becomes the most important to them. So you got to just hear that. That's why he puts himself in that place. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him may have eternal life. He begins to predict his own death and resurrection here, this early in the book. So look at the place we're at. We're kind of like Nicodemus. You may not think of yourself as that. You may think of yourself as a Christian who believes in Jesus as Lord and Savior. But there had to be some belief on Nicodemus, so guess what he wouldn't have done? You don't go out and risk your entire career on a nighttime trip to sit by a fire with a rabbi that you don't truly understand if you don't have some faith in what he's teaching. He gets caught by the other Pharisees sitting out there having a nice cold glass of water out in the middle of with the fire with Jesus. What do the rest of the Pharisees do to him the next morning? See ya. They kick him out. He risked everything as a leader of the Pharisees to do this, but we're kind of like Nicodemus. We all are. All of us. We see with physical eyes and ears. We cannot quite completely see with the spiritual eye and ear. That's true for all of us. That's why verses 16 and 17 are included. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Nobody took it. Nobody made him come. It's not like there was an order. Gave his son that whosoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not come to the world to condemn the world, but to do what? Save it. I always ask two questions here. It's two of my most difficult questions and two of the most important. When God said, whosoever believes, who's left out? Did you hear it? When God said, for whosoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life, who gets left out of whosoever? Nobody. Now, I don't mean there's not folks doing stuff I don't like. There's not mean there's not folks doing stuff that I don't need to take them aside and have a conversation with them and suggest they might want to have a little talk with Jesus. Good hymn, by the way. It's that sense of God decides whosoever is, and he says whosoever believes. And then he says, I'm not going to condemn, but I'm going to save. Doesn't mean he doesn't tell the woman at the well, doesn't mean to get her life straight and quit living with 19 men and keep marrying them. It doesn't mean he doesn't say to them, go act this way and do these things. It doesn't mean he doesn't give them the truth of direction. But what it means is he does it in a love that is beyond anything we can imagine. And that's the key to the conversation. We do it with love. Not with anger, not with hate, but with love. What's the words? See, I don't believe you can quote that scripture and hate somebody. You might disagree with them. But if you hate them, at least as I read the book, if you hate people, you don't have part with God. Because we're not supposed to condemn. See, the hardest thing I had to do when I first began pastoring, and I still have this in me, but it's different. When I first started pastoring, I wanted to save everybody. New preachers want to save everything that's walking, talking, breathing, and moving, and they want to fix every problem in the church. They come out of seminary because they know everything and they want to fix everything. Amen? It's like new teachers. If you ever been in school, new teachers, their first assignment, they've got everything together and they know what they're doing and they're going to tell all the old teachers what they've been doing wrong. Amen? And then they teach for a year and they realize they're fairly stupid. Now, after about 5 years, they understand they're not stupid or going to save everything. They're there to be part of a group that work together to try to save the world to know Christ in our case. I always told new churches with new pastors, just endure him or her for a year, it'll be okay. It almost always was. But they have to get it all out. They've been in seminary for 3 years. They've got it all stored. Well, I was the same way. Came out. Plus, I'd had time in the church, so Not only did I have time in church and knew everything, I knew how to fix it. I can't fix anything. God can. I can't change anybody. God can. That's what he's trying to get across. And when he talks about physical and spiritual, the communion that we have in front of us. One of the most spiritual things you're going to do in your life after salvation is take communion. Sometime yesterday, or maybe this morning, this bread and this juice sat on a shelf. It was made by the same people that made this bread and juice that somebody's going to drink at the house. There is absolutely nothing special about this bread and juice. Not one thing. It's bread and it's juice. But in just a moment, we're going to bless this bread and juice. And most importantly, as we believe, when we ask for the blessing of it, God's going to bless it. And for us, it becomes a representative of God's body and God's blood. It changes. Now, for our dear Catholic friends, in their church, it becomes the actual body and blood. See how serious they take that. For us, it becomes a representative of the blood and the body of Christ. If you see through human eyes, all you're going to see is a piece of bread and some juice. If you see through spiritual eyes, you're going to see Jesus Christ represented in the body and the blood that is this bread and juice. And you're going to participate with Jesus in the taking of this bread and this juice and find the power of God's Spirit in it. It's not just bread and juice. You're going to be part of that. Now, on page 15 of your hymn book or on the screen, you will find the reading for the day. And when I find the reading for the day, we'll start. Here we go, Mama. And Marilyn's going to help me because Larry, we couldn't find the shelf. It's somewhere. We don't know where it is. So we'll find it next time. So I'd ask you to join me as we move through the great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. In the beginning, your Spirit moved over the face of the waters. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. Your Spirit came upon prophets and teachers, anointing them to speak your word. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. At his baptism in the Jordan, your Spirit descended upon him and declared him your beloved Son. With your Spirit upon him, he turned away the temptations of sin. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always, baptizing us with the Holy Spirit and with fire, as on the day of Pentecost. On the night which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. Gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to disciples and said, "Take, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." On the day you raised him from the dead, he was recognized by his disciples, and the breaking of the bread and the power of the Holy Spirit, your church, has continued in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving, as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offered for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood and empowered by the gifts of the Spirit. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to the world, showing forth the fruit of the Spirit until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now let us pray together the prayer that you taught your children, the apostles, when you said to them, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. We'd ask you to come forth and partake of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you. Page 641 is Fill My Cup, Lord. I'd ask you would stand and sing to this. It is a very short song, but it has two verses, so you can make it. Let's sing both verses of Fill My Cup. It's just one verse, sorry. Sing it twice, Mother. I'm looking at the wrong one. Sing it twice. Fill My Cup, Lord. Is everybody ready to go into the nice cool weather outside? Was it supposed to be 90 outside or something like that? Up June Alaska, by the way, it's supposed to be 77 for a high, 80 tomorrow, 77 and 74 for Tuesday and Wednesday. So does that sound like good? Be good weather. Well, you ready to go? Okay, she said it's time to go. Go in peace. May God's blessings be upon you. May God's love go with you. May our three new grandchildren grow to the strength and the fullness of who you mean them to be. And may God's love always encounter us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we didn't do that little thing. Huh? Oh, we left it out? Oh, good for us. Go in peace. You might want to grab that lady real quick. It's on my desk and give it to Christy. I'll hold her up. Wait a second. I'll slow her down. Or tell her to just go with you, ain't that it?